You remember in the garden when Adam was trying to hide from God? And God said, what are you doing, Adam? Adam had a fig leaf, thinking he was hiding something from God. And you know, our hiding is no less bizarre or no less comical, no less tragic. You can't hide from God. You cannot hide from God.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, Senior Pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. David McGee continues in 1 Samuel chapter 31, and we also have on the program today one of his assisting pastors. Welcome, Pastor Neil.
Well, Bob, I've really enjoyed studying through 1 Samuel 31 with you and all of our listeners, and now we're coming to a close of this book. It's going to be an awesome teaching today, and really going back to the first problem someone had: when we mess up, when we make mistakes, hiding from God.
Seems to be a pattern in the scriptures where people do that over and over.
And we do that every day, but we want to be encouraged not to hide from God when something happens, but to really press in, seek His grace, seek His forgiveness.
Well, let's listen as David McGee continues sharing verse by verse, closing out 1 Samuel with chapter 31.
1 Samuel chapter 31, verse 1. It says, now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. Then the Philistines followed hard after Saul and his sons, and the Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, Malchishua, Saul's sons. The battle became fierce against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was severely wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised men come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell on it. Verse 5, and when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his sword and died with him. So Saul, his three sons, his armor bearer, and all his men died together that same day. And when the men of Israel who were on the other side of the valley and those who were on the other side of the Jordan saw that the men of Israel had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled. And the Philistines came and dwelt in them. So it happened the next day when the Philistines came to strip the slain that they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. And they cut off his head and stripped off his armor and sent word throughout the land of the Philistines to proclaim it in the temple of their idols and among the people. Verse 10. Then they put his armor in the temple of the Ashtoreth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bet-Shean. Now, Bet-Shean is a very interesting city. It was a large city, and it's one of the largest group of ruins in Israel. It's incredible. When you come around the corner, I mean, it's a city. You see a large city. And you see the temple up on the hill. There's a Roman baths. There's an amphitheater. There's a street, the Cardo section, the heart of the city. You can walk down and see part of the shops that they had thousands of years ago. It's an incredible thing. And they've actually discovered the temple of Ashtaroth in the city. And that's an amazing thing. When you see this verse written 3,000 years ago, talking about a temple of Ashtaroth in Bet-Shean. And guess what we found? That there was a temple of Ashtaroth in Bet-Shean. Over and over again, we see archaeological stuff proving what this book says. There has never been one item found or anything discovered that disproves the validity and the truth and the accuracy of this book. Not one thing. Friend, remember that. Verse 11. Now when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and traveled all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bet-Shean. And they came to Jabesh and burned them there. Now you may read this and may wonder, well, why did these guys come to the service of Saul? Well, we were told in the book of 1 Samuel, one of the first acts of Saul as a leader in 1 Samuel 11, chapter 9, verse 11, says, and they said to the messengers who came, thus you shall say to the men of Jabesh-Gilead, tomorrow by the time the sun is hot, you shall have help. Then the messengers came, reported it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Therefore the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will come out to you, and you may do with us whatever seems good to you. So it was on the next day that Saul put the people in three companies. And they came into the midst of the camp in the morning watch and killed Ammonites until the heat of the day. It happened that those who survived were scattered so that no two of them were left together. The men of Jabesh-Gilead had a problem. They sent to Saul and said, Saul, can you help us? And Saul responded. And Saul came and helped them, and they won the battle. And these men of Jabesh-Gilead never forgot that. Saul began his service to God with such promise again at Jabesh-Gilead. And it's interesting that at the end of his life, this is tucked in there that refers back to the beginning. Again, Saul was gifted. Saul was anointed. But he didn't just make one bad decision. He made one bad decision after another bad decision after another bad decision. And became prideful and rebellious. And his rebellion was the beginning of the end. But these men, they felt like they had owed Saul something because Saul had a relationship with them. When they were in trouble, they called on Saul. Saul responded. Now in this moment, Saul, already deceased, has a problem, and they come to his rescue. Here's the thing. Build relationships, build friendships, build them in this body. Because here's what I see sometimes. I see people who don't build relationships. They don't serve in the body. They don't really function as a body member. And then they hit a snag. And then they say, hey, somebody needs to help me. A lot of times, they're in that place in part because they've not built relationships. See, if they've built relationships within the body, they've already got people that are praying for them. The moment they hit trouble, the moment they share with somebody else, hey, you know what? I'm hitting a hard spot. Oh, I'll be praying for you, man. But what happens sometimes is we get to that spot and then we go, well, I need some friends. That's a bad time to start needing friends. Well, excuse me. That's a bad time to start realizing you needed friends. You needed friends all along. But see, if you wait till tragedy hits, it's hard to build a bridge in a day, isn't it? Build those relationships while you are doing well and you don't have some catastrophe on your life. They had this relationship with one another. Let's reread verse 12. All the valiant men arose and traveled all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshean. And they came to Jabesh and they burned them there. They burned them. They were cremated. You know, whenever we look at the lives of Bible characters, you know, inevitably somebody will ask, well, did they go to heaven or they go to hell? I don't know. I have no idea. Conjecture, I'm not sure about Saul. I mean, that's the reality. I hope he was anointed. I mean, at one time he was walking with the Lord. We can all be thankful I'm not the judge, you know. Two things in life for sure. Number one, there is a God. Number two, I'm not him. So I don't know. What about Jonathan? Oh, I think absolutely Jonathan's in heaven. I think. Why do you say that? They were cremated. What does cremation have to do with heaven and hell? Nothing. We think of Christian burial as putting somebody in the ground. But if somebody is cremated, does that mean that giving them a glorified body is beyond the power and the scope of God? Absolutely not. Now, if you've got something against cremation, don't be cremated. It's that easy. But don't go around to other people enforcing your personal convictions that are outside of this book upon them. Because I've heard of such horror stories of pastors and Christians going to a family that just lost a loved one who has been cremated and saying, well, it's too bad, he's in hell now. Even though the man lived a godly life, knew Jesus Christ as his Savior. But because supposedly he was cremated, he's not going to heaven. You cannot show me in this book that is a true and valid concern. Now again, if you have a problem with being cremated, don't be cremated. You don't need to email me and go, well, Pastor Dave, you're completely wrong. If you do email me about cremation, do me a favor, just attach a chapter and a verse to what your belief about cremation is, then we can have a discussion. See, now I know I'm not going to get emails about that topic, praise God. I ought to slip that in every time. That would work, wouldn't it? Here's an interesting thing to consider. These men honored Saul. Even though as we look at the latter part of Saul's life, Saul wasn't acting that honorable. But they still honored Saul. Why is that? I think they not only honored Saul, they honored the office of Saul. And this is an important thing for us to remember because, see, we've had presidents that I didn't necessarily respect personally, but I respected the office and therefore didn't speak against them. I didn't agree with them. I didn't agree necessarily with their faith. I didn't agree with their beliefs, but they were president. And you know, it's always amusing to me when somebody goes around and belittles the president because they are being so arrogant to think that they have the same knowledge that the highest office in the land carries. Every president we ever have has known things about the world that you will never know, friend. And upon that knowledge, made decisions based upon that knowledge. See, and for us to sit back and go, well, I wouldn't have done it like that. Well, I'm sorry, did you have the same base of knowledge? No, see, we have to understand that. And because we need to be careful when we're speaking of presidents, pastors, elders, senators, deacons, you know, congressmen and congresswomen, you need to understand there is an honor that's attached to the office. Now, some of these people will not act honorable, but that doesn't mean that you get to openly and publicly diss them. Be careful. Be very careful because you should still honor them. Now, here's an interesting thing. Oh, this is going to get really convicting. Fasten your seat belts. There's turbulence ahead. If you're in a family, if you're the husband or the father, spiritual leader in a household, and you speak against the leaders in this land, don't be surprised when rebellion rises up in your house. See, because you're not respecting the authority that you're under, so why should you expect the people that are under your authority to respect your authority? See, you're not respecting your whatever, your pastor, your governor, your mayor, your president, and you're setting the model for the rest of your family that it's okay to be in rebellion. See, you're a leader. You lead the good places. Regrettably, sometimes you lead the bad places. So understand this. And these men, they honored Saul. Why? Because Saul had fought for them. Crossed rivers. They did all these things. We're gathered here tonight to honor God, who fought for us, actually died for us. Not only crossed over rivers, but through the muck and the mire of our lives to reach out to us, to love us, to chase us down until we give in to his forgiveness. We need to remember that. That's why God put communion in place, to remind us of what he did for us. That's kind of sad that God knew that he needed to put a reminder in to remind us, but it also speaks of his grace that he never really slams us in reminding us to take communion. He says, do this and remember me. He doesn't say, you know, like, I don't know, like, you know, perhaps some mothers or grandmother, well, you forgot to call me, you forgot me, you forgot, you know. He says, you know what, just do this and remember me. Just remember me.
Thank you for listening to David McGee with Cross the Bridge Ministries. David's heart is to help you beyond our radio program. We will continue teaching the Word of God and bringing hope through the power of the Scriptures. We know that these are unusual times, so we want to share with you many of our online tools. Please check out youareloved.org to take advantage of these free resources. Our daily devotional has a helpful reading plan, thoughts from the Scripture, and practical life lessons to help encourage you. On youareloved.org, you can find full-length teachings from Pastor David and his assisting pastors. Maybe you're not able to attend services at your local church right now. Visit youareloved.org so you can join us live on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, these are free resources to help you anytime, day or night, during these difficult times. David wants to offer you peace where it could be lacking, help in your time of need, and build you up with these free resources at youareloved.org. Now, back to David McGee.
Verse 13. Then they took the bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. It's really a sad chapter, sad conclusion to an awesome book. And you may want to, you know, look back through the, reread the book or, you know, listen to the teachings and really absorb it all. But it's interesting looking at some of the parallels and the contrast. You see Samuel and Saul. And Samuel, early on, you know, hears from God and he's not sure who it is. And in the end of the book, Saul's trying to get God to talk to him. And because he's not listened and rebelled for so long, God's no longer speaking to him. In the beginning of the book, Samuel prays for a battle with the Philistines. There's victory. In the end, Saul prays for a victory against the Philistines, and he lost. Samuel lives with honor, dies with respect. Saul has a few glory days and passes from the window of history, really. Makes one bad decision after another bad decision. And it's interesting and also sad that in this chapter of Hebrews, it's called the Hall of Fame of Faith. List a lot of glorious leaders. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, part of that glorious chapter, it says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets." Saul's name, nowhere to be found. It goes on, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." Samuel and David go down in history as heroes. It's a sad epitaph that Saul is not mentioned in these verses. We've learned about Saul, we've learned about Samuel, we've learned about David in this book. And each of their lives, we learn something. Samuel about listening to God. Jonathan about self-sacrificing in the face of pressure of his father, of what to do, what was wrong. We learn the cost of not repenting from Saul. We learn from David, keep coming back to the Lord. Keep turning back to the Lord. Trust in God's strength. Because of Saul in this chapter, a lot of people died. That happens. Our sin not only affects us, it affects those around us. We hear stories almost every day here of that happening. Jonathan suffered for Saul's sins. And this world suffers from the plague of sin. But there's an answer. There is an answer. Romans chapter 5, verse 15. It says, "But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many." In this chapter, many people died because of the sins of Saul. That verse is talking about the sins of Adam. Notice it doesn't say anything, guys, about the sin of Eve. By one man's sin entered into the world. Death passed upon the world. Death passed upon all men. Sin passed upon all men. By that one man's sin, death passed to all men. But by the death of Jesus Christ, salvation becomes available to all men. Freedom from sin. And yet, every one of us acts like Saul sometimes. Notice I didn't say every one of you guys. Notice I didn't pick up my Bible and point at anybody and start yelling, "You guys act like Saul." I said, we do. We've all been Saul. We've all sinned. The amazing thing is what we do when we sin. And you know what? That makes all the difference. What you do when you sin makes all the difference. And it's interesting that when we mess up, when we sin, what's our first inclination? To hide from God. To not go to church. To not be in the Word of God. To not be in the Bible. You remember in the garden when Adam was trying to hide from God? And God said, "What are you doing, Adam?" Adam had a fig leaf, thinking he was hiding something from God. And you know, our hiding is no less bizarre or no less comical and no less tragic. You can't hide from God. You cannot hide from God. Last life lesson. When we try to hide from God, we hide from His grace and our forgiveness. When we try to hide from God, we hide from His grace and our forgiveness. It's what you do when you mess up that makes all the difference. In this chapter, we see because of what one man did, many people died. But because of what one man, Jesus, the God man, the good man, did, everybody in this room can now live. But you have to make the decision. You have to make the decision, either for the first time to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, or maybe for the 50th time, or 500th, or 5,000th time, come to Him and say, Jesus, I need your forgiveness once again. The Bible says His mercies are everlasting. He's never going to run out of mercies. The only sin that you won't be forgiven of is the sin that you don't ask forgiveness for. And so there's the decision that each of us has to make. Saul or David, to live or to die. Tragedy or victory? It's your choice. It's your call. It's your decision. Saul, through his choices, chose tragedy. He could have chose victory, but he didn't. And in the end, his choices decided how he wound up. His choices decided his ending. And you know what? We don't have to end up like Saul. But you have to make a choice. If you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. You've chose the way of Saul. We have choices. We usually break them down to two, but let me break them down to three tonight. Number one, you have an eternity without God. That's one choice. You can be eternally separated from God, and you can suffer the consequences of your sin. That's choice one. Choice two would be you can ask God to forgive you of your sins and you can retain control and ownership of your life and never serve and never give. And at the end of this, you'll get into heaven with absolutely no rewards whatsoever, which will be tragic. See, the book tells us that as we live for Him, as we do things for Him, we reap eternal rewards that moth can't corrupt and rust is not going to take away. So that's choice two. Get in by the skin of your teeth. First two choices are not good ones, friends. Or the third one, ask God to forgive you. Live for Him. And when you mess up, not if you mess up, when you mess up, run back to Him. Don't run from God. God sees everything. God knows everything. Run to God and say, God, forgive me once again. It's me standing here needing your grace, needing your love, needing your forgiveness, and God will give it to you. And at the end of this life, you'll come into His presence with joy unspeakable, with lots of heavenly rewards. Those are the three choices. I wish I could make them for you. I can't. The only thing I can do is lay them out and then let you know your choice, your call, your decision. After this point, you definitely can't say, well, I didn't know. I didn't know about the rewards thing. I thought just being saved, good. You know? Or I didn't know you need to be saved. I didn't know you need to ask for forgiveness for your sins. Now you know. You can't say you didn't know now. Now you choose. Each person in here has to choose. I know enough about myself and about humanity to know I'm willing to guess that everybody in here is messed up today. Some big ways, some little ways. Maybe some sinned by what you did, maybe some sinned by what you didn't do, but we've all messed up. What will you do with that?
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking Him to help you to live for Him. Now, God wants you to pray this prayer so much that He died to give you the opportunity and the ability to ask Him to forgive you. Please, pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe You died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe You were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for You all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. Jesus said he would not turn anybody away who comes to him, and he came for those people who knew they needed forgiveness, those who were sick, not the righteous. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. You can also write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Before we go, have you been listening to the teachings through the book of 1 Samuel? We've handpicked some of these teachings that will encourage your prayer life. Pastor Neil, can you tell us more?
Yeah, Bob, we all hunger for a deeper connection with the Lord. And Pastor David shares through past living examples how to have that deeper connection. So when you give a gift today, we're going to send you, for your generosity, Praying Through 1 Samuel. It's a 4-CD series that will encourage you in a deeper relationship with the Lord.
And as you step out on faith and give a gift to Cross the Bridge today, we will send this in appreciation for your generosity. Again, please visit crossthebridge.com to give today and get your copy of Praying Through 1 Samuel.
We would also like to encourage you to grab Pastor David's daily devotional. Each day you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with this email devotional. Life lessons to consider, a daily reading plan, and a thought to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of David McGee.
Hey, and it's easy, and it's free. You can just sign up today on crossthebridge.com. Thanks again for listening, folks, and we hope you'll join us next time as we continue studying verse by verse through 2 Samuel.